Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into GSK's Q3 2024 performance.
All right.
Yeah. So we've got their slides. We've got their transcripts. We've even got some of their financial reports.
The whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to break it all down for you, help you make sense of it all.
Sounds good.
I think a lot of people have seen these headlines about like, oh, sales are declining at GSK.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more to the story. Mm-hmm. So, we'll unpack the impact of exchange rates. We'll talk about the surprising slowdown of Shingrix sales in China.
Interesting.
The roller coaster ride of that new RSV vaccine, RSV.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. And then the amazing growth of some of those long-acting HIV treatments.
Really exciting stuff.
Yeah, so buckle up. It's going to be a fascinating ride.
It's interesting to see how GSK is managing in this global economy, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, on the surface, it looks like sales declined by 2%.
Yeah.
But that's in USD. Once you adjust for, like, you know, the fluctuation in the currency exchange markets,
yeah,
they actually had growth, like 2% growth.
So it's like a completely different picture once you look at those exchange rates.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're still confirming their full year guidance.
Yeah.
Despite some of these, like, challenges.
It's interesting.
They're aiming for, like, the middle of their projected range.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty optimistic.
It is. And I think it really comes down to the specialty medicines division.
Okay.
That's really been the workhorse for their growth.
Okay.
It's offset the lower vaccine sales.
So that's been their like shining star, huh?
Absolutely. Areas like HIV, oncology, respiratory, immunology, you know, all these areas are seeing, you know, really good growth.
Okay, so let's break down that growth a little bit. Mm. We've got a 12% growth in their HIV treatments.
Yeah.
And that's coming from like both like the oral two drug regimens, so like Dovato, Juluca,
mm-hmm,
but then also the long-acting injectables like Cabenuva and Apretude.
Mm.
And it's worth pointing out, Apretude, that's that long-acting injectable for HIV prevention.
Yeah.
That's seen like a 95% growth this quarter, which is incredible.
Right. Well, it is the only approved long-acting injectable. So it's
right.
Got kind of a lock on the market there.
Oh, that makes sense.
But of course, there are some, you know, barriers to entry for physicians.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time to educate people on how to prescribe a new type of treatment and get the patients to understand the benefits of it, you know?
So there's that trust building that has to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, moving on to oncology.
Yeah.
They're reporting a 94% growth in that area, which is huge.
Huge, yeah.
And we can attribute that, a lot of it, to Zejula, Jemperli, and then that newly launched Ojjaara, also known as Omejjaara,
mm-hmm,
for myelofibrosis.
That's right.
But then also, Jemperli got FDA approval for like a broader range of endometrial cancer patients.
Yeah, big win.
Yeah, so that could boost sales even more.
Absolutely. And then we have respiratory immunology at 14% growth.
Okay.
So that's been driven by Nucala for severe asthma and other eosinophilic diseases.
Okay.
And Benlysta for lupus.
Gotcha.
But, you know, on the horizon, they've got some stuff coming up. They reported positive results from late stage trials of depemokimab.
Okay.
It could be a new treatment for severe asthma and CRSwNP. You know, that could be a real game changer. Maybe launching in 2025. It's hard to say exactly, but
okay, so there's a lot going on in that space,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're really firing in all cylinders there.
Okay. Well, we've talked about a lot of good news in specialty medicines.
Yeah.
But let's address the elephant in the room.
Right.
Vaccine sales.
Yep.
down 15%.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so that's not something to take lightly.
No, not at all. The vaccine landscape is very complex, and it's always changing.
Okay.
So let's start with Shingrix.
Okay.
Shingles vaccine. Mm-hmm. 7% decline, mostly because of a slowdown in China.
I was surprised to see that. I mean, Shingrix has been like a real powerhouse for them.
It has, yeah.
What's driving that slowdown in China?
Well, there's a few things.
Okay.
You know, they're facing some economic issues right now, so they're tightening their budget.
Okay.
And that may be affecting spending in the healthcare arena. And then GSK's partnership with Zhifei, that's their distributor in China, has some unusual contract details.
Like,
They've already delivered 240 million doses of Shingrix to them out of a total of 400 million that they agreed on in the initial contract.
Okay.
And there's some flexibility built into that.
Okay.
So that might be affecting how quickly those remaining doses are sold.
So it's sort of a wait and see to see what happens in China.
Kind of, yeah.
But Shingrix isn't the only challenge in vaccines.
Right.
Arexvy.
Yeah.
Their new RSV vaccine.
Yeah.
That has seen a huge 72% drop in sales.
Oof.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
Yeah.
So the ACIP, that's the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices.
Okay.
They've restricted the use of Arexvy.
Right.
And with all the focus on COVID vaccination, still people just aren't getting as many of those other vaccines.
Okay.
You know, Arexvy's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle there.
So it's a tough break for a brand new vaccine.
Right, you know? Pizza.
And it's like a reminder that these external factors can really impact the market.
Absolutely.
So guideline changes, public health priorities, that kind of thing.
Right.
But there is a little bit of good news in the vaccine segment.
Oh, good.
Bexsero and Manveo,
yeah,
those are the meningitis vaccines.
Hmm.
They've actually done quite well.
Yeah, the meningitis vaccines are a bright spot for sure. They've had double-digit growth, you know.
Wow.
And that's from the CDC purchasing patterns in the U.S.
Okay.
And some successful launches internationally.
So even in a segment that's facing, you know, some challenges, there can still be those pockets of success.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's switch gears now to general medicines.
Okay.
What can you tell us about that segment?
Well, they had a solid 7% growth. So
nothing,
you know, super exciting, but good solid growth, primarily driven by Trelegy.
Right.
That's their treatment for COPD and asthma.
Okay.
But there's an interesting wrinkle here, and that's the removal of the AMP cap in the U.S.
The AMP cap, what is that?
So AMP stands for Average Manufacturer Price.
Okay.
It's basically a cap on drug prices for Medicaid.
Okay.
Which is the government's health insurance program for folks with low income.
Okay, yeah.
So the removal of this cap meant that some of GSK's big drugs like Advair, Flovent, and Lamictal actually saw some price reductions.
Oh, wow. So how did they maintain growth in general medicines with these like price cuts?
Well, they had a clever trick up their sleeve. Oh. They started using authorized generics.
Oh, okay, explain that to me.
So they basically introduced generic versions of their own brand name drugs.
Oh.
So now they can compete in the market and, you know, kind of offset those price reductions a little bit.
Oh, that's pretty savvy. So they're like competing against themselves.
In a way, yeah.
Okay. Well, we've covered overall performance, the highs and lows of the vaccine business.
Yep.
The steady growth of general medicines. Mm-hmm. So what's next?
I think the most exciting part of any pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
The R&D pipeline.
Yeah, the R&D pipeline, the source of future blockbusters and breakthroughs.
Right, exactly.
So what does GSK have in the works?
Well, they've got a lot to be excited about. Just in 2024 alone, they've reported 11 positive phase 3 trials.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so they're really committed to R&D.
Okay. What about their upcoming product launches? What can you tell us about those?
Well, there's a few big ones we can look forward to. We already talked about depemokimab,
right.
But they're also working on Blenrep for multiple myeloma.
Okay.
Nucala for COPD.
Okay.
Gepotidacin for UTIs.
Mm-hmm.
And a new meningitis vaccine, MenABCWY.
So quite a lineup.
Yeah.
Anything else we should know about their R&D?
They're also making some real progress in chronic hepatitis B.
Okay.
But Puroversin is looking really promising for treating that.
Yeah.
And they actually just got FDA approval to start combination studies with Depluserin and Tomlegisterin.
Wow.
That's another really promising approach for treating hepatitis B.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
So it sounds like GSK's R&D is pretty busy right now.
Oh, yeah. They're not slowing down anytime soon.
Okay. All right, so we're back, and we're going to pick up where we left off, talking about GSK's Q3 performance.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating to see how they're really, transforming themselves, moving away from this traditional focus on vaccines and going more into the world of specialty medicines.
Yeah, it seems like we're seeing that transition play out, like, right before our eyes, you know.
Right.
Specialty medicines are becoming, like, central to their growth.
Exactly, and that raises a really important question.
Okay.
What does this all mean for the future of GSK?
Yeah.
Will this, you know, shift away from primary care?
Yeah.
Will it really work out the way they're hoping?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
But from what we've seen so far, it seems like they're making some pretty significant strides.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a strong portfolio of these specialty medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing rapidly,
right?
Fueled by, you know, all this innovation.
Yeah.
And also, you know, strategic expansions of their existing products.
Absolutely. And you know, while they're facing some challenges in the vaccine business,
yeah,
they're adapting, you know?
Yeah.
They're finding new opportunities. They're leveraging their existing strengths to stay competitive.
It's like they're walking this tightrope, you know?
Yeah.
They're pushing boundaries and exploring these new frontiers, but they're also trying to maintain that stability.
Right. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah. But it seems like they're managing it pretty well.
They are. And that's what makes them such a compelling case study.
Yeah.
They're operating in such a complex and an ever-changing environment.
Yeah.
You know, and their success really depends on how well they can anticipate changes, adapt, and execute their strategy.
It's like a high stakes game of chess, you know?
That's a really good analogy.
Every move has these huge consequences.
It does. And remember, we're not just, you know, passive observers in this game.
Right.
You know, whether we're investors or consumers or just informed citizens,
yeah,
we all have a stake in understanding how companies like GSK operate.
Absolutely.
You know, what challenges they face, what decisions they make.
Yeah, knowledge is power.
Exactly.
And understanding, you know, all this stuff, it helps us make better decisions.
Yeah.
About where we invest our money, what products we use, and ultimately how we shape the future of healthcare.
Well said. Well, before we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
let's recap those highlights of GSK's Q3 performance.
Sounds good.
You know, just to emphasize those key takeaways for our listeners.
Perfect. I'm ready when you are.
Okay, great. So first and foremost, remember that it's really important to look beyond those initial headlines.
Okay.
You know, that 2% decline in sales might have grabbed your attention,
yeah,
but it's so important to remember the impact of exchange rates.
Right.
You know, focus on that underlying growth in constant currency terms.
Good reminder for anybody who's trying to, like, you know, decipher these financial reports.
Yeah.
Always dig a little deeper.
Exactly. And then, you know, next we saw that really stark contrast between, you know, that success story in specialty medicines,
yeah,
and then the struggles they're having with their vaccine business.
Yeah, it really is like two different stories playing out at the same time.
It is.
One's thriving on all this innovation and market share gains.
Yeah.
And the other is grappling with, you know, all these market complexities.
Right.
And all these external challenges.
Exactly. But, you know, even within those trends,
yeah,
there are nuances to consider.
Okay.
Shingrix, yeah, it might be slowing down in China.
Yeah.
But the meningitis vaccines are doing great.
Right.
RXV might have stumbled a bit, yeah, but GSK still seems pretty confident about its long-term prospects.
Okay.
And general medicines, maybe not the star performer.
Yep.
But still delivering that steady growth.
So it's all about, like, taking that holistic view.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
looking at both the strengths and weaknesses, mm, understanding what's driving those trends.
Right, exactly. And lastly, we can't forget about GSK's commitment to R&D.
Yeah.
Their pipeline is just packed with potential.
Yeah, those 11 positive phase 3 trials this year.
Exactly.
And all those key product launches that are on the horizon.
Right, they're not resting on their laurels. They're investing heavily in innovation. They're trying to, you know, develop new treatments, expand the reach of the ones that they already have.
It's pretty impressive.
It is, and it's a very promising sign for their future.
Yeah.
You know, it suggests that they're not content with just, you know, keeping things the way they are.
Right.
They're trying to shape the future of healthcare.
Yeah, and that's something we can all, you know, get behind.
Absolutely. Now, as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
I want to leave you with something to think about.
Ooh, I like a good brain teaser.
All right. So with their focus on specialty medicines and this promising pipeline, how do you see the balance between vaccines and pharmaceuticals evolving over the next few years?
That is a great question.
Right.
Because they are really leaning heavily towards those specialty medicines already.
They are.
But will vaccines kind of become like a secondary priority?
Yeah.
Or will they find a way to, you know, revitalize that segment, bring it back to its former glory?
That's the question everybody's asking.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to a lot of factors, you know?
Yeah.
Market trends, scientific breakthroughs, regulatory decisions, and of course, GSK's own strategic choices.
Right. It's a very, you know, dynamic and ever-changing landscape.
It is, which makes it even more exciting to watch.
Exactly.
And even though we can't predict the future with any certainty,
right,
we can at least arm ourselves with knowledge,
yeah,
you know, so that we can navigate all these complexities and make informed decisions about our health and well-being.
Knowledge is power. That's what makes these deep dives so valuable.
Absolutely.
We can move beyond, you know, those surface level headlines and really develop a deeper understanding of what's going on.
Right. Of the forces that are shaping the world around us.
Exactly.
Well said. And with that, I think we've completed our deep dive into GSK's Q3 2024 performance.
I agree. Yeah.
We've uncovered some really valuable insights. We've explored some thought-provoking questions. And hopefully you, our listeners, now have the knowledge you need to make your own informed assessments of GSK's future.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, you know, the journey of discovery doesn't end here.
Right.
Keep asking those questions.
It's learning.
Keep exploring.
Exactly.
The world of business and finance, it's always changing.
It is.
So stay curious. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how they're trying to balance these two very different worlds, right?
Yeah.
Like mass vaccination versus these highly specialized treatments for, you know, smaller groups of patients.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to depend on a lot of different factors, you know?
Yeah.
Global health trends, scientific breakthroughs, the regulatory landscape.
Yeah.
And of course, GSK's own, you know, strategic decisions.
Right, right. So do you think they can actually be successful in both areas? Or are they going to have to like pick a lane at some point?
It's hard to say, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, they have this incredible track record with vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, they've developed some of the most effective vaccines in the world.
Yeah.
And they have this like global reach that very few other companies can match.
Yeah, that's true.
But then on the other hand, that specialty medicines market, it's incredibly lucrative.
Right.
And it seems like GSK is, you know, they really want a piece of that.
Yeah, and it's not just about the money either.
Right.
It's about, you know, the potential to actually make a difference.
Absolutely.
In the lives of patients who have these, you know, really serious, often life-threatening conditions.
Right.
I mean, the work they're doing in oncology and HIV.
Yeah.
It's really groundbreaking stuff.
It is. And that's, I think, what makes this so fascinating to follow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about business and finance.
Right.
It's about, you know, actually improving human health.
Yeah. On a global scale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to end on.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about a lot today.
We have.
Starting with, you know, GSK's overall financial performance and then looking at the specific you know, challenges and opportunities that they're facing in different parts of the market.
Right.
And then we even, you know, zoomed out a little bit to look at some of the broader trends that are shaping the future of the entire pharmaceutical industry.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it is.
But hopefully we've given you, our listeners, you know, a better sense of just how complex it is to bring new medicines and vaccines to market.
Right.
And that delicate balance that companies like GSK have to strike between, you know, pushing for innovation and also navigating this constantly evolving landscape.
Right. It's a tough job.
It is.
So as always, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, keep challenging those assumptions.
Absolutely.
You know, the pharmaceutical world, it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And staying informed is really the key to making good decisions about your health and well-being.
Well said. Until next time, stay curious.
And stay healthy.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.